I'll be reading from Matthew 13. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go up and pull them all up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. But both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it to my barn.'"
Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see everyone this morning. Visitors, we've got several. We're glad you're with us. Invite you to be back at any opportunity that you have. We're going to talk this morning. I'm a little hot. Like Barney, I'm a little hot. We're going to talk this morning about one of Jesus' parables, and it really hit several themes, Christian themes that I want us to talk about this morning. So this is one of just a couple parables where Jesus kind of gives an interpretation of the parable, or at least where it's recorded for us. And he doesn't give the interpretation at the time necessarily that he gives the parable. What I'm saying is, to the audience that he gives the parable to, he doesn't turn right around and give the interpretation. But typically those disciples and apostles who are with him will ask, "What does this mean?" And so then he gives them an answer to what the parable means. But he's always planting these seeds, if you will, for people to think about and learn as their understanding grows. So let's look at the following verses in the chapter. There's a little split between them, and see exactly what this parable of, we call it the parable of the tares most of the time. What's this parable mean? "Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." So now Jesus gives the explanation. I always like to remind us, we even talked about it a little bit in our class this morning. We'd invite you, if you've not been participating in our class, we meet at 9:15 over in the fellowship hall for our adult class. We've got classes for all ages. But we talked a little bit about Satan, about the devil. In this parable, Jesus makes it very clear that there is God who is doing good, and there is Satan who is doing evil, and that he is active in doing evil. Peter understands that. Peter writes about it and says to be on alert, to be aware, because Satan is like a roaring lion roaming the earth seeking whom he might devour. And so Satan is actively about doing evil and pulling a people away from God. What's Satan's ultimate fate? What's Satan's ultimate fate? It is hell. It is hell. That is where Satan ultimately winds up. And so his goal is to take as many people with him as he can. That's how evil Satan is. Okay, that's how evil Satan is. That's how hateful Satan is. That his destiny is doom. And he wants to take as many people with him as possible. His realm is not hell. And we've talked about this before, but I want to be reminded, because sometimes in our thoughts, and at least in my time and many of yours, you remember the Warner Brothers cartoons. And especially Yosemite Sam will wind up in hell many times, right? In the cartoon, and Satan is there, and it's a cave underground, and there are fires. And sometimes that's our image. If you watch there was the Eddie Murphy movie that had, you know, where the guy was satanic, and he would pray, and it would be, he would be talking to Satan in the fires of hell. But it was like Satan was ruling from hell. That was his domain, and he is immune to the punishment. But that's not the biblical picture. The biblical picture is not, there is Satan in hell, who is immune to the fire, who is immune to the pain, and from there he is working his evil. The picture is that Satan is roaming about the earth, doing evil, planting bad seeds, tempting man, pulling us away from God, leading us to the doom that he is headed for, because he is not immune from the punishments of hell, but hell is created for his punishment, and he will suffer that as well as all of those who are lost. It's a totally different picture, but that's the biblical picture, that it is Satan's fate for punishment because of his rebellion and his evil. And so Satan is now about the earth doing evil. And so God is planting good seed for us to be saved, for us to be children of the kingdom, and the promise of eternal life. And Satan is about actively doing the opposite, trying to thwart God's plan in every way possible to lead us to destruction, to punishment. And that's the battle that's going on, and it's the battle that you and I are involved in. It's interesting that, and this isn't really a new idea for us, but it would have been a very novel idea for them, that the field is the world. And why would that be different for them? Because for them, the field where the good seeds are going to be planted would be what? Israel. But it's larger than that. And Jesus is teaching a great lesson here, that the field is larger than just Israel, but it is the whole world. That there are going to be good seed planted all over the world. And that's certainly Jesus' teaching. It's the thought of the New Testament, that there'll be God's people in all the kingdoms of the world and all across the world. And as Christians, our mission is to what? Take the gospel to the whole world, right? What did he do in the Great Commission? When he sent those believers out, those disciples out in the Great Commission, go into all of the world and preach the gospel. Right? And so this field is the whole world, because the gospel is going to the whole world, and there'll be believers throughout the whole world. When does the enemy plant the weeds, the bad seeds, the tares? Parable tells us, when everyone was asleep, the enemy snuck in and planted the bad seeds. What is an admonition in that for us? Never to sleep? No. We have to rest some. But it's to always be on alert. So always be looking, because that's exactly what Peter says about Satan, that he's a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour. And so we should be on alert to Satan and to his tactics and to his plan and to his evil. Because the enemy came in when everyone was asleep. And so we should always be on our guard and always should be on the lookout for the snares that Satan puts out for us. But also for the temptations and snares that Satan puts out for those who are around us, that we need to be responsible for each other, to encourage and to watch out for each other. For our children, for our families, for our church, for our community. be on the lookout and to warn folks about what Satan is up to. Be on the alert. Not to become complacent. You know, the crop's planted. So I'm just going to wait for the harvest. But we need to constantly be on our guard, on our watch. As God's people, we should be sounding the alarm when Satan is about, and we understand that. I've used this analogy with you before, but it's a good one. For those of you who deer hunt, what's the worst thing that can happen to you if that deer is approaching? If they throw that head up, and they throw that tail up, and they blow, what does it probably mean? They're gone, right? And those deer that maybe you didn't see that were just a few feet away in the woods, when they hear them blow and that tail goes up, phew, they're gone because they're always looking, right? They eat a bite and that head pops up. They look around, they eat a bite, that head pops up. They're on their guard and they warn the others. And so you don't want to get smelled. And that's why many of you buy all kinds of stuff to smell like all kind of grotesque things. So that they won't smell you and sound the alarm. And Satan does the same thing. He wants to disguise himself so we'll not be on the alert. So we'll not be looking. When a lot of time do the big bucks get shot in deer season? Is it the first of the season? Sometimes. But when the rut starts, the mating season for deer. And even I noticed this year on the radio, the traffic guys got to warning that the deer were in rut because not only are they more apt to get shot, they're more apt to run out in front of you in the middle of the road. Why? Because they ain't paying attention. Or at least not paying attention to you. They're paying attention to each other. They're paying attention to each other. Like Adam, Jerry, they weren't paying as much attention as they should have. And so when they're not paying attention, they'll run out into places of danger where they shouldn't be. And so the parable is when everybody was asleep, the enemy came in and sowed the bad seeds, and so is God's people. We need to be on the alert, constantly on our vigilance. It was before the time of Roundup Ready crops or specific herbicides. So if you had weeds, you had to go pull them or chop them out. Some of you used to chop corn and cotton or bust middles when you were younger. Y'all remember that, working in the garden, pulling morning glories and all of those things, or even in big cornfields. Had that hoe and go up one row and back down the other, chopping weeds. And now farmers have big sprayers and they just go down and doesn't harm the crop and takes care of the weeds. But in our parable, the question comes, should we pull the weeds? And the answer to that is no. And why not? Because in pulling out the weeds, you might damage or pull out the crop, the wheat. So let them mature and then they'll be separated. It helps answer a question that many of us struggle with. Well, why is evil allowed to continue? Or why does it seem like it doesn't matter whether you're trying to follow God or not follow God, everything's kind of the same? Well, it won't always be the same, but while we're living, the parable is the sons of God and the sons of the devil grow side by side. They grow side by side because sometimes it's hard to tell. And the great thing about our God is all of us still have the choice, and we often change in life, right? People come to a knowledge of the Scripture and are able to repent and find salvation. And so God gives us that opportunity. But it's interesting in this parable, and it's one that's important. When they're young It's hard not to pull up both, or it's hard to tell the difference. But when is it easy to tell the difference? When they produce fruit. When they produce fruit. Because you can look at the fruit, you can look at the crop once the fruit is produced and say, yes, this has a seed head. Or this one doesn't. This one has produced something of value. We're going to harvest it. But this has produced nothing of value, and we're going to pull it aside and bundle it up and burn it because it has no value. At that point, it's easy to tell the difference. As people of God, what must we be doing? Producing fruit. God has called us to produce fruit. And the way that we are different from the world is by the fruit we produce. And Jesus will be very specific. He says, a bad tree does not produce good fruit. And a good tree doesn't produce bad fruit. Or he uses the point of a whale. He says, a good whale doesn't produce salt water. And a salty whale doesn't produce good water. Either it's good or it's not. And by what it produces, you know. That's how you can tell. And the same thing is true in our lives. By what we produce or don't produce, it's easy to tell what we are and whose we are. If we're producing good fruit, then we're of God. If we're producing bad fruit or no fruit at all, then we're not being what God calls us to be. So there's a real encouragement, a real admonition that we need to be about producing fruit. And if we look in our lives and say, my fruit ain't so good, we need to ask God to change that and work on changing that. And probably for many of us, the question would be, am I producing the fruit like God wants me to do? Am I being productive? Am I as fruitful as I should be? Is it a priority for me to be about producing fruit for God? And God will help us do that. There's another parable about the tree that didn't produce. And so what's done for the tree before it's destroyed? It's pruned, it's groomed, so what? It can produce. God wants us to produce, but we're about producing fruit. But when the fruit's produced, it's easy to tell the difference. It's easy to tell the difference. Is it our place to judge the difference? And this is an important question. Where does judgment play a role in our lives? Because the Scripture says not to judge. By whatever measure we use to judge, it will be measured back to us. Yet, the Scripture also talks about discipline in the church. It talks about discerning. It talks about expelling a brother who causes trouble. So there has to be some discernment in what we do. You and I can, to some degree, judge activity. We know when things are wrong. But where we can't pass judgment is on a man's heart or a man's future or a woman's future or what their destiny will be. What their fate. It's not for us to judge what happens to them in eternity because God will make the judgment. And we can look at fruit. We can look at attitudes and activities and say this is right or wrong. But to look at someone and say, You're not of value. You're never going to be anything. God has no place in you. We don't know because not only do we not know a man's heart as God does, but we only also see a snapshot, right? We only see a snapshot in time. And God is going to judge us based on what? What we do with Jesus and the totality of our lives. Because there are folks who wind up producing fruit for God and being godly who spent their younger years in rebellion to God. And there are folks who have lived lives of godliness and then Satan, and it's a tragedy, but Satan pulls them away. Satan tempts him. So for us to make that judgment is not for us to do because we don't know. But will God do it justly? Yes. It's God's place. It's God's call because God will judge a person's heart and their actions and their totality and will know what we have done with Jesus. But another point that this parable makes for us is there is a judgment coming. There is a judgment coming. And while the sons of God and the sons of evil grow side by side, while they're together in the same field, getting the same sunlight and the same nourishment? Because here's what the Scripture will say. God sends His rain on the just and the unjust, right? And I know that it sprinkles on the hypocrites. But the point that Jesus is making is that there are blessings from God that the just and the unjust get. When it rains, it rains on the just and on the unjust. God doesn't make a differentiation. We get rain or we don't get rain. But there is a day coming when there's going to be a difference. When the wheat and the weeds are separated. When the goats and the sheep are parted. And the weeds are bundled and burned. They're burned in a fire. They're destroyed. They're punished, if you will. And the wheat is gathered into barns. The parable is, those who are the sons of disobedience, the sons of evil, those who have fallen victim to Satan's lure, will face judgment and destruction. And those of us who are children of God will face the promises of God and this heaven, this home that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. While we live side by side, God will send His angels to make the harvest. There will be a judgment. There will be a judgment. And so God has made preparation for us to face that judgment. God has made preparation through His Son Jesus, who has planted good seeds. It is Jesus who is about filling the earth with good seeds. And it's about, do we let those seeds grow in our heart, to make reference to the parable of the sower? Do we let the Word of God take root in our heart and produce fruit? All of us won't produce the same, but do we let that Word grow, or are our hearts hardened? Or do we let the weeds come in and choke it out? Or do we let it cultivate and grow? Because God, at a great cost to Himself, the cost of His Son, made provision for us to have eternal life. God does watch over us and bless us. But remember, a day of judgment is coming. And God desires for all men everywhere to be saved. And He has made that provision. And so all of us have the choice. Are we going to accept Jesus and His sacrifice? Are we going to confess Him before men and be washed in His blood and cleansed of our unrighteousness? Or are we going to follow the ways of the world? Because if the love of the world is in us, then the love of the Father is not. We make the choice between the world and between God. But we know that that harvest is coming, and where God has made great provision for us for all of eternity. And His call, His plea for all of us is to come to Him, to walk with Him, and receive those blessings that He has for us. Maybe you need to come this morning. If you do, we'd encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.